My guest receives an impartation of the fire of God. Now he prays for people and they receive the same fire, have heavenly encounters, and see Jesus face to face. Next. I've thought for myself in every area of life, but one, I knew nothing until I discovered a realm where the truth isn't what it seems. A realm where the truth becomes reality. I've spent over 50 years investigating the world of the supernatural. Every moment has led up to the main event. Millions of Jewish people will be saved all over the world. God's heart is for all to believe, for none to perish. It's called the greater glory. Do you believe?
It's supernatural.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Joel Reichland, grew up in a Catholic family. I mean, very, very Catholic. He didn't know the Lord experientially and was headed for destruction. Then Joel got put in prison for trafficking, as he says, a little LSD. Explain, Joel.
In 1995, 1996, it was actually a smaller amount of LSD that I got busted for. At that time in my life, I was experimenting. I had a passion in my heart for what was beyond the veil, extraordinary things, supernatural things.
Me too.
And I saw LSD and psychedelic drugs as a tool to do that. And so when I was 18 years old, through a series of events, I ended up getting busted for enough LSD to get two people high and ended up spending 3 to 15 year sentence.
At age 21, Joel cries out to God for the very first time. Tell me about it.
Just one moment, Sid. I have something for the people that are watching that I believe is from the Holy Spirit. As we were preparing and getting ready to start the show, I saw three things in my spirit. The first thing I saw is that there was somebody watching that was going to be present that had broken the bone in the side of their face. It affected their nose. It actually broke the bone in your nose and their vision. And the Lord wants to touch you. The second thing I saw was a foot that had surgery on it, and it was opened up. Your foot's in a boot. There were tendons that were torn, so forth. It's caused you a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, and I believe the Lord wants to heal you. And the third thing, I saw a woman in a hospital bed, and she was broken. She was dying. She was struggling. She was suffering. She was in pain. And I saw the Spirit of the Lord resting above your bed, touching you with His hand. And I just want to pray very quickly that the Spirit of God touch your body right now and that you would experience healing and life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Joel, you're in prison.
Yeah.
This is not a nice place to be.
Yeah.
And you pray for the first time, which it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What did you pray?
You know, it's interesting because I'd been in there for a couple years and I had an experience that day. It was on my 21st birthday and I had turned 21 and I had an exchange with an individual in the prison. He had multiple murder charges. He'd been there for a long time. He like ran our dorm and the exchange didn't go well. And I left that exchange just like defeated, discouraged. And I remember I isolated myself and I got alone. And I looked up to heaven and I said, God, I can't relate to anybody here. Send me someone that I can relate to, that I can connect with. And it was very emotional and my emotions died down and I went about my day. And it was after that prayer, probably about maybe 7 to 21 days. It's hard for me to remember the exact amount of time that came. I walked out onto the prison yard one day, and there was a man standing in the middle of the yard with a soccer ball, juggling a soccer ball. And I was raised playing soccer. I played my entire life. And I was like, okay, I can go juggle the soccer ball with him. So I walked up, I started juggling the soccer ball, asked him his name. He said his name was Cedric. And he told me he was from Kingston, Jamaica. And I'm like, well, I like marijuana, so Bob Marley's cool, right? So Cedric must be cool. He must be my friend. And so I gravitated toward him, and I'd never met him before. But immediately, he started to introduce me to biblical principles. About 30 days into hanging out with Cedric, we were walking one evening and we were talking. And I know that sounds strange to those that don't know the context of prison, but there are times when you're allowed to walk around and move around. And we were in a bad neighborhood.
This is in the prison yard?
No, this was in the prison, by the cells, by the bunks. And all the things that happen in prison happened there. And I looked at Cedric, and something was different about him. All of a sudden, he got very serious, and something came over him. And I was like, what is going on? And tears started running down his face. And he began to speak in a language I didn't understand. And I'd never heard that before. I was like, what is this? It scared me. And there in prison, you have different kinds of people. So you have like the Aryan Brotherhood. You have the black Muslims, which are like the African-American version of the Aryans. Then you have true Christians and true Muslims. And there was a man there from the Middle East who was an Aramaic Muslim. And as Cedric continued to speak in tongues and tears streamed down his face, this man jumped up off of his bed and he began to run back and forth. It was the most peculiar thing. And he said, oh dear, oh dear. He's speaking in Aramaic. He's speaking in Aramaic. He's saying God is walking among you in Aramaic. And he came around this group of people, fell down on his knees in front of us, took off his beanie, handed it to Cedric, and said, I want to serve the God that you serve.
And not only was Cedric teaching the Bible to you, he was prophesying. He told you the exact day you get your release?
Yeah. So after about 60 days of these supernatural encounters with Cedric, it really kind of culminated at a point. You see, everyone goes to the parole board once a month. And once a month, there's about 100 men that would go to the parole board and nobody would get out. It was like 12 months, 60 months, and I had 15 more years. And I had a bad day. I woke up, I was like, I'm doomed. I'm gonna be here forever, my life's over. And Cedric rebuked me. And he had a really sharp Jamaican accent and he called me Joey. And he's like, have I taught you nothing, Joey? Have I taught you nothing? And he took me out on the yard and he began to speak to me. And he began to, I know now he was prophesying. He said, you're going to get out on this day. This is going to happen in your life. You're going to go to the nations. You're going to preach the gospel, Joey. And as he's speaking to me, he's moving his hands. And I'm telling you, clouds, thunder, lightning came at the movement of his hands and the movement of his words, and it hit me in my chest, and I freaked out, and I said, whatever you say, man. Okay, whatever you say, I'm out of here. And I literally got up. I was like, love you, Cedric. I'm out. And I left. I went to my bed, and I just pondered what happened. It kind of put it out of my mind. And it was about a week later that I went to his bed. Maybe it was 2 weeks. It's week, 2 weeks. And every morning at count, I would go to his bunk and we would go get breakfast together. And that morning I went and none of his belongings were there. He was gone. Everything was cleaned up, removed from his area. And I went to the guards and they didn't give me any information. They blew me off. So I went to some other men that were incarcerated, and we determined, well, maybe he got deported and maybe he's back in Jamaica or whatever. So I didn't think about it anymore. And, you know, my turn to come to the parole board was about 30 days after that. And I went to the parole board out of 105 men. And I'll never forget the moment when the parole board gave me their spiel and said, we are releasing you immediately. And it was like my heart was just set free. And I remembered in that moment, you know, they're talking. It was like Charlie Brown. I don't hear anything the teacher's saying. But I'm pondering the things that he said. You're going to be released. You're going to go out into the world. You're going to do these things. And I remember I walked out of there, and when you get released from parole, on parole, it's they wait 60 days to do the administrative paperwork, right? So it's 60 days and out. That's what we say. And so about 30 days in, I wake up one morning. I wake up one morning and I'm looking and I think it's count time. And I look and everybody's asleep. And I'm like, why is everybody asleep? It's count time. And I look back and I'm asleep in my bed. And I looked at my hands and I had a body of light. It was like opalescent. When I say opalescent, like all the colors, but you can see through it, iridescent body of light. And I look up. And Cedric is standing at the end. And he's like much taller, much broader, and this brilliant, same opalescent light is shining from inside of him to me. And he had a Bible in his hands made of the same heavenly material. And in that moment, Cedric looked at me and he spoke without opening his mouth. It was almost like he spoke to me with his mind. And he said, I told you, Joey, I told you. And I sat up in my bed just like gasping, like, oh my gosh, I just encountered an angel.
You get out of prison, you backslid, and you ended up addicted to heroin. By January 2004, you resurrendered your life to Jesus.
Yeah.
But then one day, not too many days later, you were in a normal service, struck by lightning.
In January of 2004, I was in rehab the last time. And I had come to the end of my road. My wife was pregnant, and my oldest daughter was 2 years old. And I thought to myself, you know, I need to just surrender my life to Jesus again. And I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I'm in this mission, and I'm pursuing God. I would go into this sanctuary. They would give me a radio. They took all my music. It was almost like I was in hell. They gave me one CD with this song called I'm Forgiven. And it was Darlene Check. And it came over and over again. And I would weep and I would weep. And one day, in that place of surrender, lightning came and struck me out of the sky. And when that lightning struck me from the sky, I began to speak in a language that I didn't understand. And you have to understand, I saw Cedric do it, but I certainly didn't know that it was something that I could do. And I didn't have any education about it. And I began to speak in this other language, and I tried to hold it. And I remember it came over me. And as this lightning surged through my body, I fell down on my knees and I covered my face. And this light lit up inside of me, and it went beyond the walls of the building I was in. And I could see as far as the light would go. So I could see through the walls of the building. And in that experience, I remembered every time since I was a child that God spoke to me. All of the times I went through difficulty and He was there. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if I could ever reach as many people for Your kingdom as I did for the kingdom of darkness, take my life, here I am.
Then December 22, you were immersed in fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that lightning experience for years, I went right into the ministry and I was trained and equipped. And then in 2023, early 2023, I transitioned from my roles in the local church. And I was overseeing a school of ministry at that time in Cleveland with Pastor Steve Witt. And then I was also a pastor, and everybody agreed it was time for me to move on. And I had an important divine appointment after that with a gentleman who I had lunch with that invited me to Brazil. And he invites me to Brazil with his team. And we're praying and ministering to thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in these services. And at the end of it, after seeing miracles, healing, signs and wonders, the leader says, I want to pray for the team that came. I want to release an impartation of the Holy Spirit to you. And he laid hands on me. And I'm telling you, it was like this fire came over me that I never experienced before. It began to burn inside of me, and I began to do the crunch. I remember thinking, my God, thank God I work out, and I fell to the ground. And I was there for about an hour, and this heat was going through me. And I'm just thinking, no, God, no more. And then I'm thinking, no, yes, God, yes, because I don't want to not get what you're giving me. And it's surging through my body. And I opened my eyes after this experience, and this was recently. I mean, this is December, 2 years ago, right? And I'm already in ministry, and I got up off the floor. There's one person, this intercessor's praying over me. And there was a puddle of water on the floor. My clothes were drenched with sweat. And something happened inside of me. My pastor, Steve Witt, had prophesied over me, when you go to South America, when your feet touch the ground, something is going to change inside of you that's going to change the trajectory of your life, and it's going to open up the nations of the world for you to preach the gospel. And it was in that moment that that happened, because we have seen an accelerated, marked increase in every facet, from healing and miracles, from doors opening to churches and various nations, to financial resources, all shift.
Do you know what I believe? Something is going to accelerate in your life when Joel prays for you. We'll be right back.
When Joel Reichlin fasted 40 days, God showed up and personally spoke to him. Now in his exclusive new 3-CD audio set, Joel shares with you how the power of walking in true intimacy with God will transform your life.
Joel Reichlin's brand new and exclusive 3-CD set was dictated by God himself to Joel. And we're just talking, and all of a sudden, I feel waves of the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm not the only one that has ever told you this. When did this start?
In January of 2004, I was a heroin addict, and I kind of came to the end of my road. I took a chance and I called on the name of Jesus. I had what I would say lightning come from the sky and strike me. This light lit up inside of me, and it began to shine from within me.
Our viewers, most of them aren't going to be struck by lightning like you. Is it transferable by listening to your teaching?
The presence of God can come alive in anyone's life, just like it did for mine.
I can feel the presence of God rolling off of him.
Call or go online at sidroth.org/10013 with your donation of $25 or more, with free shipping and handling, for Joel Reichlin's exclusive new 3-CD audio set, The Power of Presence, Accessing Jesus' Strength Through Intimacy.
You actually had an encounter with the fear of God that came all over you, and God called you to a 40-day fast. Explain.
Yeah, well, in December of 2023, I was really seeking the Lord about some of the things that he had given us responsibility over. And as I saw everything that he was doing and inviting us to participate in, the fear of God came into my life. And I thought to myself, God, I don't want to disrupt this. I don't want to mismanage or missteward what you're entrusting me with. What is it that I need to do to ensure that I do a good job with this? And I heard him as clear as a bell say, 40 days, no food. So during the fast, on the third week, there was supernatural grace that came with it. And it was such an amazing experience. For 4 days, for 4 hours a day, the Holy Spirit met me in my living room and began to speak to me. We say he gives us downloads. And he began to give me topics or chapters of a book. And he gave me 10, which I call the ways of the kingdom. And during that time, it was so overwhelming that I wrote it all down. I typed it all out, got everything in order. And immediately, as we started going out into various places, we started teaching it and preaching it, and we saw a marked difference in the experience that people were having in the audience as we released the revelation of the Word and the Spirit. So we yield to the Spirit of God and we pray for people and we touch them with our hand. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit moves through us and touches them. Well, this particular woman, after receiving an impartation, she was shaking, she was weeping, she fell on the ground, and she was on the ground crying out and shaking for about 45 minutes. And when she came out of the experience, she came to us with her pastors, and she's weeping, and she said, I'm 70 so years old, and I have never seen Jesus face to face. She said, when you laid hands on me, I felt the power of the Spirit go through me. And she said, I was taken into heaven and I saw Jesus for the first time. And she said, not only that, when I got up, I've had a growth in my stomach for 10 years. The growth is completely gone. Praise God.
I want everyone viewing and our studio audience to say out loud, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. Now.
Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior.
Live inside of me. Pray for the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the fire. And yes. Right now.
Yes, Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're everywhere right now at the same time. And I release the impartation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the holy fire of God would touch everyone that's watching this right now, wherever they are. If you're in your car, pull over and receive the fire of God. If you're in your living room, fall down on your knees and worship God. But Lord, baptize your people, quicken and accelerate the divine nature that you fashioned inside each and every one of us right now in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is a free gift that's been given to all of us who would just ask. So wherever you are right now, just ask and receive the Holy Spirit. I pray for gifts of healing to come alive. I pray for gift of prophecy to come alive. I pray for words of knowledge to increase. I see the hand of the Lord swiping and breaking chains that are holding people that are watching. Some of you truly love the Lord, but you're stuck in these patterns of sin, and God wants to set you free. You've been believing things about yourself that aren't true. What is true is that you are worthy because he made you worthy. You are worth it, and Jesus paid a price for you. So I pray, God, that your holy fire would just increase right now and begin to burn on the altar of our hearts. And like the disciples said on the road to Emmaus when they walked with him and he opened the scriptures, that each and every one of us would say, did our hearts not burn within us while he opened the scriptures to us? And with the holy fire comes the healing of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you're struggling with right now, whatever injuries, whatever diseases, whatever illnesses, I mean, I see diabetes very clearly right now, and I just see blood sugar levels returning to normal. So we praise you, God, for that. But Lord, I pray that as you fill people's lives, you would open our eyes and our hearts to the reality of your heavenly kingdom.